नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
मोस्ट ब्लेसेड फॉर हैविंग बीन एबल टू गेट दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी टू कम टुगेदर टू सेलिब्रेट वॉट प्रॉब्ली इज द मोस्ट एग्जॉल्टेड ऑफ ऑल इवेंट्स इन ह्यूमन हिस्ट्री। We come together to reinforce and become more deeply aware of why we are all here, why we are becoming devotees. What is it to become actually a devotee? And what is the goal of our life? So this day facilitates a deeper understanding of the very purpose of our very existence in this material world. Vrindavan Das Thakur, as we know, has loudly proclaimed that there are so many events, so many days in the year which are very auspicious, undoubtedly, Ekadashi, Akshaya Tritiya, appearance of great souls. However, the 2 days, the appearance of Lord Nityananda and the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, have been singled out as the most munificent of all days of the entire year. It is today 526 years when this divine event took place, the appearance of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The blessed day of Gaur Purnima. What is it that makes this day so very special? And why is it the most worshipable of all days for all mankind? No, not all mankind, for all living beings. The answer to this question lies in understanding within our core of our hearts the deep significance of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya as to who actually he is and what does he really represent and how is that relevant to our lives. Sri Radha and Krishna are probably the most misunderstood people in the entire creation. We are misunderstood for small things, but they are almost always misunderstood. Avajananti mam Buddha. People cannot understand Krishna. Even more misunderstood is Srimati Radharani. So what to talk of a personality who has combined Radha and Krishna? He is even more misunderstood. Because it becomes a more and more of a mystery, in fact. What is this Gauranga Mahaprabhu? But because human mind cannot rationally understand these spiritual truths, therefore we are given scriptures. What is not understandable through rationality, logic, is understood through the eyes of seeing things through the scripture, Shastra Chakshusha. So we know that the event of Mahaprabhu coming to this world is a very, very, very rare event. The Shastra has informed us that there are 4 yugas, everyone knows, Satya, Tirtha, Dwapara and Kali. And to deliver the people of this world, there are 4 prescriptions for these 4 ages to deliver mankind from the cycle of birth and death. Krite Dhyayato Vishnu, Tritayam Yato Makhai, Dwapare Parichayayam, Kalauta Dhari Kirtanad. In every Kali Yuga, as in every Satya Yuga, there is chanting of Hare Krishna, Mahamantra and meditation respectively. So why is this Kali Yuga so special? Because we must understand that in every Kali Yuga there is chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. It is not specific only to this particular Yuga in which we are living today. And it is always a yellow colored incarnation, a golden avatar who comes. Shweta, Rakta, Pita and Shama. These are the 4 colors of the 4 avatars in the 4 yugas. So the avatar in Kali Yuga is always golden in color, and he is always called as Gaur Narayan. Narayan has come as Gauranga, and he delivers all souls by the loud chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. However, this event of Mahaprabhu's coming in the year 1486, 526 years ago, was not the same appearance of Gaur Narayan. It is probably, for human calculation, something which has never happened before. When you talk of Kumbh Mela, the last time Kumbh Mela was called as Mahakumbha. That means once in 144 years that event comes again. Those constellations appear again. So that also looks like a very far off thing. Once in 144 years. So people go because at least I will not be living for the next 144 years. So let me go and take a bath. So it's a big event in terms of time. What talk of 1,000 years, 5,000 years, 10,000 years, million years event, once in a million years event? No. 10 million, no. 100 million, no. 1,000 million years, no. This event of Mahaprabhu's appearing as Swayam Bhagavan does not take place even once in 1,000 million years. That's how very rare this event is. What is the difference? The difference is that even though Swayam Bhagavan comes once in billions of years, he gives a type of extraordinarily special mercy which is not available in any other Kali Yuga. In the previous Kali Yugas, when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you can go back to Godhead, but never beyond the Vaikuntha planets. That is the limits of the progression of human excellence, and nothing beyond. So the mellows of the highest realm of Krishna Loka, Golok Vrindavan, remains an exclusive commodity, never known, never understood, and never available to any Jivatma for billions of years. Therefore, it is said, Anarpita Charim Chirat Karunaya Avtirna Kalau. What is not been for a long, long, long time, almost never given before. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he comes here, he gives the mellows of the type of love which is so special. The relationship between the Jivatma and God is only onefold. That is a relationship of pure love. But love is of different realms. It is not the same thing. There are different realms of love. The type of love which is experienced by the residents of Golok Vrindavan, the highest planet, is so extraordinarily special because that love is so powerful. And we know in this world, love is a very powerful force. Even in this world, the way we love it, the world we live in, we know that love is very powerful. In fact, lust is so powerful. What to talk of love? Lust is so powerful, isn't it? The negative force of lust destroys wars, all sorts of things. You know, practically the whole world, which obviously are all the basic component of all that governs everything and churns every, propels every activity, is lust. And we can see the world events are all properly propelled by lust. But imagine that pure force of lust turned into love, what can it can do? It is so powerful. So no, undoubtedly the love is the most powerful force. The type of love of Braja is so special that it subdues God himself. The Supreme Godhead becomes absolutely subservient to any practitioner who possesses the commodity of that pure love of Golok Vrindavan. And obviously, therefore, Krishna does not give that love to anybody. Virala Shantakatipaya. It is very rare to get that love. Because why would Krishna want to get supreme to anybody and everybody? Doesn't make any sense. So that is the type of love which Gauramaru has come to give. However, we must understand that Gauramaru's coming here to Nodia district in Bengal is not a secular, small, contained narrow-minded event of Bengal or India. Mahaprabhu's event of coming to this world is actually creating huge waves on the entire cosmos, in the entire universe. It is the most important cosmic activity in time. Why? Because Sri Navadvip Dham is not a place of this material world. It is the spiritual center of this particular Brahmanda in which we are living. Nameshwaranya is the material center of this entire universe. We are in the seventh planetary system, the middle planetary system, so obviously the hub is Brahma sent. The hubs fix itself at Nameshwaranya, and therefore sages had their katha, Krishna katha, Bhagavat katha at Nameshwaranya, because the impact of what was done in the center with it, by centrifugal spiritual force, emanates throughout the entire creation. That's the value of the center, because it has got centrifugal force. But Navadvip is the spiritual center of this universe, the spiritual Rajdhani, the capital of this universe. Therefore, if any event has to impact the entire Brahmanda, it must start from Navadvip. So the Supreme Godhead selects that place for his divine descent in this world. Navadvip is extremely special to Gaudiya Vaishnavas and to the whole world. It is the only place which is not made by Krishna. Krishna has created the entire creation. Aham sarvasa prabhavo matasvaram parvartate. Krishna has declared everything which you see and you don't see, the manifest and unmanifest universes, everything comes from Krishna. And this is absolutely a statement of authority. And the Lord himself is saying it. That everything comes from him. But Navadvip is created by the beloved hands of our eternal mother, Srimati Radharani. It is the only place created by someone other than Sri Krishna. In order to attract Sri Krishna away from the other devotees, the other gopi friends, she makes Navadvip. This is, I try to understand this, what does it really mean? I got the insight that it is just like Srila Prabhupada, who had so many powerful, intimate disciples of his. And to attract Prabhupada's attention, a disciple had to do something very special to attract his attention. He would distribute a lot of books, make a big temple, have a big preaching program. Prabhupada said, I'm coming to your center for 3 days. So attract Prabhupada's attention was not easy because he had so many things to do. But if some disciple had a very special event, if New Vrindavan said that I'm going to make a farm community just like Vrindavan, it was only to attract Prabhupada's attention. He stayed for 10 days and did the Bhagavad Pravachans there. Yeah? So a disciple had to attract Prabhupada's attention by doing some spectacular service. Similarly, Srimati Radharani in the same mood has to do something special to attract Krishna's attention from other competitor devotees. In the same mood, serving the master. Krishna is Radharani's Swami. Just like Srila Prabhupada is our Swami, our Master. So she created this beautiful land of Navadvip with the most choicest of trees, birds, rivers, ponds, fragrant flowers and breezes, adorned with the moats made of Ganga and Jamuna waters, and exquisitely special. And then Sri Krishna, who is always a possessor of the flute, Muralidhar as he is called, this time Srimati Radharani starts playing the flute. Krishna attracts Srimati Radharani and all the other devotees by his transcendental notes of his flute. But this time Srimati Radharani took that same flute and played. And the ambrosial nectar was so enchanting that Krishna, the all-attractive, was attracted to the flute of Srimati Radharani, who was Madan Mohan Mohini. Krishna, having come there to Navadvip, was so happy to see this place. He said, I will stay here always. And anyone who serves us here in this place will get love, which is similar to that which is experienced in the land of Vrindavan. And all the tirthas of the entire universe will manifest over here. Thus Krishna blessed Navadvip to be the most extraordinary place in this creation. And just like Krishna is Purna, Avatari, Mahaprabhu is Purna Avatari. Similarly, Navadip also is Purna. It is complete. There is Badrinath, there is Kedarnath, there is Sri Rangam. All the holy places in the entire creation are there in this tract of 168 miles of Navadvip. It is a Purna Dham. All benefits which come in other places will come by simply staying in this holy place. So we can see Mahaprabhu is special, his descent is special, the place he descends is special, his purpose, everything Mahaprabhu is extremely special. Only thing ordinary is our understanding. That is the only thing that is ordinary. Is we just don't understand the depth of these transcendental events and its deep significance to ourselves and to the world. The scriptures have said it very, very long time that Mahaprabhu will come. Maharaj Nemi, we heard in the morning today to Karbhajan Muni, spoke this to Maharaj Nemi. Millions of years ago, this is given. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagya Sankirtana Prayer Yantihi Sumedasaha. This has been given. There are many, many such references, and anyone can get convinced that this is not something which is a created god, like so many gods who are living around us here. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without any doubt. We must understand also simultaneously, as we are understanding the Lord's descent, as to what are the events taking place in Navadvip. When the earth planet here, on the Bhauma level, what are the events which are being churned up to bring the Lord's descent? Just like Navadvip is created by Srimati Radharani, it is blessed in a very special way by Brahma. Because Brahma at that time, realizing the Lord's descent would take place here in the future, made it the most opulent place in the entire world. It was only in America. There was no America at that time, 15th century. It was not discovered still. And it, of course, it was there. Not that it's not there, it was there. But it was a forest with practically just aboriginal, you know, aborigines staying there. The Red Indians were staying. Anyway, so, but Brahma made the most opulent place of Navadvip with riches and natural resources and pure waters and everything which would be required for the prosperity of human beings was provided in abundance in the land of Navadvip. And Mother Saraswati also cooperated by sending the most brilliant scholars of the entire world to Navadvip. It was a high seat of learning, the center for academic excellence of the time. The top place was Navadvip, unrivaled, unchallenged. There were other places like Kashmir and Mithila also. And in Dakshin Bharat, Sri Ranga Kshetra also were seats of learning, but not as acclaimed for their prestige as much as Navadvip. So while there are, we understand that there are not one or two, but tens of thousands of millions of scholars here. So you can imagine a place which is like totally, people are brainy, extremely high IQs, brilliant deciphering of knowledge from scriptures. Sanskrit was the way of just life. Sanskrit was just the conversational language. It was not a learned language. It was just a natural language for everyone to speak about. So there were great scholars like Mishras and Chakravartis and, you know, big scholars. All had their schools. They're called Tola schools. And the prestige depended upon a student coming as getting his certificate of academics, completion of his degrees, from which Tola, from which school, which teacher gave you that particular certificate. If you got it from this certain person, then it was very high. From that person, it was still higher. So there was a huge amount of, you can imagine, like you have classes, like, you know, so many classes here. Agrawal's and Karla Shukla and all these classes are there, and all this, so many. And every suburb, there are like hundreds of classes and all offering various, you know, attractive 70% discount and this and that. So many things. So it's like so many classes of excellent teachers. And therefore, there's a huge amount of what? Naturally, rivalry. competition. So while people were very opulent, a lot of money, there was just a lot of rivalry, fights, competitive spirit, huge amount of pride. And the thing which was the most remarkable was there was no God in the picture. There was no Vishnu, there was no Narayan. Imagine a place where everyone reads scripture, including Gita and Bhagavat, but there's no mention of Krishna or Narayan Bhakti. To that extent, they were covered. Durga worship, Manasa Devi, snake worshippers, and worshipping scorpions, and luge, lavish child marriages, and so many things like that. So it's a very opulent place. People are apparently very happy. But a devotee understands that this is happiness, or rather so-called happiness, in the mode of tamogun. Or at best, rajogun. And because of the absence of Vishnu or Narayan worship, the devotees were not at all happy. The first associate of Mahaprabhu to be coming to this world is Sri Advaita Acharya, who was 60 years elder to Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He's a very old man even when Mahaprabhu was born. So seeing the state of Navadvip was breaking his heart. And he took it upon himself to really create an environment which will bring the Lord down to this world. It is explained that reading a sloka from the Gautamiya Tantra, which explains how simply by doing two simple things, now to get the Lord in this world is not easy. It is the most difficult thing to ever you can imagine, getting the Lord here. Even to get the Jamuna flowing back to its root is so difficult. Even Jamuna is not willing to come. You know, a lot of forces opposing her descent from Haryana to Vrindavan. What of creating, you know, bringing the Lord here? This is an impossible task. And millions of people together cannot even do this. But, as Samadhi was saying in the morning, I think that sometimes the biggest problems, I mean the biggest challenges, have the most simple solutions. Because there is immense power in simplicity, which is not there in complexity. The simple method of offering just Ganga Jal and Tulsi leaves to Vishnu in the form of Shalagram creates powerful effect. Having read that sloka, Advaita Acharya sat on the bank of the Ganga, and please understand, he's not just an ordinary human being who's just loudly calling out. He is Mahavishnu Sankarshan, the quadruple expansion. He's Sadashiv combined. When he cries out loudly, it is not just decibel power. It is the power of his intense hankering to save the world. It is the power of his compassion, which is so overwhelming a force, it penetrates the entire universe and cuts through the Brahma Jyoti, enters the abode of Mahavishnu. And he hears the sound of Adhisthira's loud crying, and his heart melts. In fact, in Gaur Leela, we understand that it is a Leela which is just as Navadvip is full, Krishna is full in himself, Mahaprabhu is full in himself. Simply, all the participants in this Leela are also all complete. Every other devotee from every other avatar has joined this team of devotees in Gaur Leela. We can't imagine this situation, rather, we should try to imagine the situation whereby we have people like a Mahavishnu descending. Virichandra is Sridharsha Vishnu descending. Thakur Haridas as Brahma descending. Adhacharya as Sadashiv descending. Who are these people? Then you have Pradyumna, then you have Rasikananda, you came later on. These most powerful people. When Mahaprabhu came to this world, when he was born, Nashinda's wife came, Vasishtha's wife came. I mean, the most you can imagine, the most important people in creation are all gathered in Navadvip. Why? Because they're starting an event in cosmic time which is going to last for thousands of millions of years. They come to give a type of mercy which is going to inundate. They have come to create a tsunami of love of God. So these are all preparatory events. Before the tsunami can actually start flooding the entire world, and that tsunami practically began in 1966 from Srila Prabhupada, when it actually started manifesting out of India. The waves are not anymore just in Bengal. Just the wave could see, you'll see in New York, and then it's in Japan, and you can see it in Australia. You can see these waves everywhere. The tsunami was created like that. But before the tsunami starts, there's a lot of events taking place which are unseen. And it is because of these great, 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 supremely great personalities coming to create this event. The tsunami of love of God, which can inundate not this world, not this planetary system, but the entire universe. And of course, we want to get blown off by this tsunami. We'll be most happy to just blown off by this tsunami and this ocean of bliss. So, the Tara is crying like this, and Mahaprabhu, the event is that there's a great devotee called Upendra Mishra, who's living in Bangladesh. He has 7 sons. One of his sons is Jagannath Mishra. He comes to Navadvip to study. And another great personality called as Nilamma Chakravarti Thakur, who's none other than Gargacharya of Krishna Leela, his daughter Sachi Mata. So Jagannath Mishra is there. They both got married. Sachi Mata gets married. And they didn't get a son. They didn't get a child for a long time. So they started staying on the bank of the Ganga to invoke auspiciousness. 8 daughters are born in a row. But in the early infancy, they all die. Imagine the trauma of a mother and a father who have 8 children, beautiful children, illustrious children, but all do not even survive for the first year of their birthday. Imagine the heartbreak. It was a very heartbreaking situation. But they intensified their devotion to Shalagram, Damodar Shila, and then Vishrup was born, the first child, whose expansion of Balram. They intensified their devotion even further. And then, in the year 1485, in the month of Magh, January, the entire spiritual abode, please appreciate this descent of the Lord, is so transcendental. We know, the Gita says, Janma Karma Chame Dibyam. The entire spiritual abode descends into the heart of Jagannath Mishra. He is embodying the spiritual abode of the Lord. From his heart, this abode, this brilliant light, gets transferred to the heart of Sachi Mata. She is now embodying the entire spiritual abode within her body. Descends to her womb. She is supremely effulgent, just like Devaki was effulgent in the jail of Kamsa. And special things started happening from that time. People started giving so much charity, respect, and so much of love and affection to Jagannath Mishra on the roads, and just overwhelmed by so many gifts, people who didn't even know. Sachi Mata started seeing all celestial beings in the sky and in her dreams offering prayers of devotion to the child in her womb. In the minds of the people around, there was a lot of happiness was there. Everything was getting very, very auspicious. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, 9 months have passed. Ordinarily, this is the time to come out. 9 months and 9 days, Ayurveda says. Oh, but no. 10 months, 11 months, 12 months. Obviously, that is anxiety. Child is not coming out. Horoscope is made by Nilamma Chakravarti Thakur. He said, he is waiting for the very auspicious event. Please do not worry. After 13 long months of waiting, what was the special event the Lord was waiting for? It was the lunar eclipse. Why lunar eclipse? It has been explained so nicely. Because lunar eclipse is the most inauspicious time in the world. Because at that time, the smartas, the so-called religious people, they all understand that, oh, we got so much of wealth and name and fame and power and prestige and so much of followers. If anything inauspicious happens to our life, we're finished. Ashubh. So they want to protect themselves from this Ashubh situation, which is created by the by Rahu covering the moon. Rahu is thinking other way. He said, oh, the moon of Gauru Chandra is coming. This stupid moon, you know, with all these marks. You don't need this moon, just cover it up. So Rahu is having his own calculation of why he wants to get a lunar eclipse, because he doesn't want this moon to, you know, have anything to do with this when this supreme moon of this world comes in. But then all the people of Navadvip are gathered in Mother Ganga, and all are having their holy bath. With that they know. That they know, even though they're not devotee, they know that they have to avoid inauspiciousness. And they even are chanting loudly, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. You can hear sounds of Hare Krishna mantra everywhere. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. So you can imagine the Ganga all along Navadvip and beyond, not few hundred thousand, but millions of people head down. This is like a huge, the biggest Kumbh Mela ever, in one sense. Everybody, millions of people, students, teachers, parents, everyone deciding there, all are in the Ganga on the same time. You're in the house, you know, get all those negative rays and whatever this, whatever is there. Everyone is chanting loudly. And this makes the devotees supremely happy. They had never anything, seen anything like this, never heard anything like this, that all the devotees, all the people who are non-devotees, even the Muslims, who hate, you know, Muslim rule was there. You know, they hated the Hindus very badly. They were very cruel to them. They also looking, you know, they also very happy. I don't look at these guys. You know, they were chiding with them, joking. They also sang Hare Krishna. So everyone was chanting God's holy names. At that point of time, when there is resounding, tumultuous sound of Harinam, which is somewhere around this time, we have to really put our hearts into the situation. It was the same day. It was 1486, Falgun month. It was a Sunday on that day. And the Lord appeared just like you're sitting on the, in 1986, we were at this 500th anniversary of the Lord's appearance with Radhanath Swami. And I distinctly remember this event when I was sitting on the bank of the Ganga and we saw on the eastern horizon a huge moon. When the moon is down, it is very big, and then it becomes sort of small as it goes in the center. The huge yellow-colored moon is rising from the eastern horizon. So just like the moon arises from the ocean, from the unlimited ocean of bhakti, represented by Mother Sachi, the moon of Gaurachandra arose and came into this world. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! Gauranga Mahaprabhu Abhirbhav ki! What a beautiful, beautiful child. Like no one has seen before. The ultimate embodiment of all beauty. In a small form, maybe arm length long. Every limb exquisitely beautiful. Nilama Chakravarti Thakur came and saw, he was amazed. He saw all the signs of a Mahapurush. We are not fanatics. We don't believe that this is just God because, you know, somebody else, somebody says it. But yet all the 32 signs, there are 32 signs in the body of a Mahapurush. Five broad, seven things which are red in color, three things which are grave, three things which are small in size. Everything is a science. Krishna consciousness is a science. It's not a science, it's a perfect science. A non-changeable science. Never changes with time. Five things, for example, were red in color. What were they? His eyes were red. Upper lips were red. Lower lip was red. The palate was red. The arms were tender, soft, red. The palms of his soul were red. And his nails were red. Three things are called to be grave. His navel was grave, deep. His voice was grave and deep. And his very existence was grave. This is described. And it was very evident. The horoscope is given. Anybody who knows something about horoscopes, they can see this is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. What signs, what lagna was there, and Simha lagna, and so many details are given. Right? And they can study the horoscope of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maharaj Saraswati Thakur has studied it in detail. Actually, you don't have to study it. It's already given. Because astrology is a very difficult science. So it was very evident that this is not a human being. Maya Manushaha Vigraha. One of the names of the Lord, as Ganesh Sarambhattacharya, is Maya Manushaha Vigraha. That it appears that he is a human being, he is a Manusha, but he is not a Manusha. Again, avajanati mamuda. He is not a human being. He is God. He has come in a human form to be with all of us. So all the details were given about how, you know, maybe Vishnu Prabhu will tell us tomorrow about all the various details about what was there in the horoscope. But more importantly, we understand that through the entire childhood and through his birth, it was very evident what the Lord was coming for. He wanted to really get people to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. They were chanting the time of his birth. When he was there, you can see in this drama, he was always crying. No toys worked, no food worked, nothing. Only thing which worked is the loud chanting of Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. And through the entire Balya Leela and then of course primarily the Pogonde Leela where he entered school, this is his Leela of scholarship. But by the time he was 15 years old, he was the most powerful scholar in the entire Navadvip. He had defeated the most acclaimed Keshav Kashmiri. So he had reached the climax of his career as a defeater of Keshav Kashmiri. There was nobody else to defeat anymore. He was Digvijay Pandit already at the age of 15 years. But people go through some, you know, life-changing events in their existence. Something, I met this person, this changed my life. I read this book and this changed my life. I met this, you know, something happened in that, I had this accident and changed my life. Like that. So what was the changing event of Mahaprabhu's life? What really changed him from a big scholar, a proud, arrogant scholar who was willing to just defeat anybody and grab him, get into argument and defeat him, almost like massacre him in his, you know, through his academic scholarship. The event was the meeting with Sri Ishwarapuri. On the pretext of going to Gaya for the Shraddha of his father, Janda Mishra, he meets his great saint Ishwarapuri. Why did the Lord accept Ishwarapuri as his eternal spiritual master? It's very important to understand also. Because Ishwarapuri's example, each and every associate of the Lord is here to depict a very special quality which is important for all of us to understand and emulate. In Ishwarapuri, we find a quality of complete submission to the will of Sri Guru and willingness to perform all menial services for his divine pleasure. Cleaning someone's stool and urine and nursing him and bathing him and feeding him, not something everyone would like to do. It would employ somebody else like an ayah or a maushi to do that. But with his own hands he did this to his Guru Maharaj. And he helped his Guru Maharaj in terms of when he was in need. He was in an invalid situation because of his disease of his body. He read for him the Bhagavatam, reminded him of Krishna and served him with such selfless love. So anyone who serves devotees becomes very dear to Krishna. In fact, this is the two central message of Mahaprabhu's life. Vrindavan Das Thakur has given this mandate for all of us to follow for all life to come, now and in the future. If we just perform two things in our life, we will also go back to the royal road of and the kingdom of God. What are those two things? Simply chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and serving the Vaishnavas. In fact, Saraswati Thakur says there are two Yuga Dharmas in this world. The one which is already known to all of us as popular, the chanting of Mahamantra. And the second Yuga Dharma is serving the Vaishnavas. These are the two most important Yuga Dharmas of this world. And both are complementary. You cannot do one without the other. You cannot be chanting Hare Krishna Mantra 64 rounds and not willing to serve when the service is given to you. And even if you're serving, right? The attitude to properly serve comes when the Lord manifests His holy name in your heart. So both are actually equally complementary, like the true tracks of a railway track. Serving Vaishnavas and chanting Hare Krishna mantra are absolutely the foundational principles of sadhana bhakti. And as a corollary, offending Vaishnavas is the easiest way to lose the mercy of the holy name. If you offend Vaishnavas, which comes from pride and criticism, then no matter how many rounds we chant of the Mahamantra, there will be absolutely no effect. Not only no effect, it will destroy the very creeper of Bhakti Lata Beach. It will destroy it. If you keep on chanting Hare Krishna Mantra by offending devotees, your Bhakti Lata Beach gets destroyed. So these are two important things which we must always carry in the core of our hearts. So having done this menial service to his Guru Maharaj, Sri Gaura Mahaprabhu accepted Ishwara Puri as his beloved Gurudev. And from him he got what? The Hare Krishna mantra. And the moment he chanted the first mantra, there was a rapture in his body. He erupted into a volcano, as if like this, as a volcano sitting in Mahaprabhu's heart. He was apparently covered by his, you know, atheistic arrogance because of his scholarship. And the moment the Mahamantra entered his heart, it broke that cover, apparent cover of created by his so-called apparent arrogance and his pride as a scholar. And the moment that was broken open, his real heart just erupted to the surface. And he got into ecstasy. And he fell down crying tears of love and became unconscious. And from that day on, by the time he came to Navadvip, he was a completely God-intoxicated person. And now he could not no longer teach in a school. Students came to him and said, they came to learn from Nimai Pandit, but they could not teach them. So you please go to some other teacher and learn whatever you have to learn. But they could not go to anybody else. Having tasted the nectar of learning from the supreme Akhinda Jagat Guru, Mahaprabhu is not just a teacher of grammar, he is Akhila Jagat Guru. He's the guru of the entire creation, including Brahma and Shiva. Learning from that person, if you have such a person as your teacher, who would go to any other inferior substitute? Everyone said, okay, if you don't teach us, we're going to wind up our books and we're not going to teach, we're going to learn anymore. Said, you are always chanting Mahamantra. With this, you are chanting, how do we really teach also this chanting? For the first time in the descent of Mahaprabhu at the age of 15 or 16 years, the Lord spoke the Mahamantra. Only earlier once he had given the Mahamantra in private to Tapan Mishra in Bangladesh, but this was the first kirtan performed by Gaura Mahaprabhu. Therefore, it is historically important to note. What are the first words emanating from his mouth as he chanted the Mahamantra? Hariharaya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Hariharaya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudan. Hey Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudan. This is the first kirtan sung from the lotus lips of Kartalavalam Kalakantharavam. From this beautiful melodious sound of his kantha, this is the first kirtan of this world. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna. A special song, again recounted by Thakur Narottam Das in his bhajan. And of course, the events go further. Now the Mahaprabhu is into a God-intoxicated person. He became so popular, then we saw about the Chand Kazi episode. But now the most important earth-shattering event which shook the entire world was the sannyas of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Now the Lord was embarking on his mission. He did not want to remain in the confines of Navadvip with his family, with his friends, and with his associates and his followers and students. He had to really carry the treasures of love of God into the world, which was waiting to give. Please remember, the Lord has come to fulfill two purposes, external and internal. And these are not done separately. Both of them have been done simultaneously. It is not that he does one and then the other. They're just happening simultaneously. He wants to taste the nectar of the love. Therefore, of course, we understand there are three reasons of Mahaprabhu descent internally. What is that? The first is the greatness and the glory of Srimati Radharani's love. The second is, what is it which is within him, his own sweetness, which Srimati Radharani tastes through her love. The third thing is the nature of happiness, the extent of happiness where Radharani feels when she loves him. These are three internal reasons. These are the three things which Krishna could not understand even as Krishna during the Krishna Leela. So the all-knowing Sarvagya Lord cannot understand these three deep tattvas or situations. To fulfill that need of his heart, he has come as the internal reasons of his descent. And for there are three external reasons we all know, we should definitely remember today. And first of all, is the most important, is the loud cries of Sri Advaita Acharya. Second is his promise in the Bhagavad Gita to come every yuga. And third is to establish Yuga Dharma, which is also that proper time to establish in sequence. So it's like an allotted job. So he does that also. But now, the sannyas had to take place because he had to really now go out into the world. So we can see now there is an explosion which is taking place in Mahaprabhu's heart. Murari Gupta is saying, don't go. Sachimata is saying, don't go. Dadar Pandi is saying, don't go. Mukunda is saying, they're all crying, holding by Mahaprabhu, do not go. The same Mahaprabhu stayed back for more than a year in Jagannath Puri because he should not go to Vrindavan or Jagannath or go to South India. Was being held back by the loving ropes of Sachi Mata, but he denied even those ropes. All his intimate associates were saying, please do not take sannyas and leave us. But this time Mahaprabhu would not listen. Why? Why is he deliberately breaking the hearts of his devotees who are begging him, pleading him, urging him, crying, rolling on the ground, do not take sannyas and do not leave us. We will die before when you go. The first ones who die will be Sachi Mata. Sivasagura is saying, when she dies, I will die. Then Advaita will die. Everyone will die. So when you come back, you'll find nobody will be here. Why do you want to kill all of us by taking sannyas? The Lord did not listen. Why? The power of the Lord's compassion. It is the love of the mother of Srimati Radharani who wants to inundate her children with the type of love she experiences for Sri Krishna. That is Radharani's love exploding from Mahaprabhu's heart. Antar Krishna Bahir Gauranga. Radharani wants to give that love, which is her exclusive commodity of her heart, to all her beloved children of this world. There is no way to get love other than from the reservoir of love, that is Srimati Radharani. She is the abode, the niketan of love, the nivas of love. Krishna is the object of love. So all love has to come from our mother, for our father. And she wants to give this to the whole world. And therefore she cannot be held back by the love of even Sachi Mata. So the events take place in such a way, the Lord is running in the middle of the night, leaving behind Vishnu Priya to cry for the rest of her life. She lived for 96 years. And she was 14 when the Lord left, and she lived for 96 years, all her life, simply crying for 82 years in separation. He left her 14 January, Makar Sankranti. The sun rises to the north. He rushed to the Ganga and reached Kantak Nagar. And he begged Kesha Kashmiri, Kesha Bharati, please give me sannyas. But he said, okay. You're a 24-year-old boy. There's no question. You know, nobody takes sannyas at 24. And look at your form. Look at your beauty. I mean, this is just impossible. The Lord begged, pleaded. When the Lord has something to do, to fulfill, who can really stop him? His will is supreme. He couldn't stop him. And Yashova Bharati understood that. I cannot stop this boy from taking sannyas. The Lord is sitting there. And they called the barber to cut his hair. Now, these are the very, very, very intense events in Mahaprabhu's life. He's just waiting to take sannyas. He wants to wear those robes of a sannyas. He's so bad. He wants to have the shaven head and just go out here and there everywhere, giving love of God to all living beings in this world. Humans, plants, animals, anyone. Jangam, sthavar, jangam, everybody. They're cutting his hair. First of all, Madhushil could not even hold the razor. How can I cut this hair? His hair are the essence of beauty. They glorified by Brahma and Shiva. He could not cut. He was crying, crying, crying. He had become paralyzed. He just could not move towards Mahaprabhu's head. The Lord had to practically empower him from within to cut his hair. And as it was cutting the hair, a few locks fell to the ground. And the whole town of Kantanagar went into raptures of crying intensely, rolling on the ground, beating their chest. Why are you doing this? And in between the whole ceremony, the Lord just jumps up, chanting Hare Krishna mantra. He's in so much anticipation. I want to take sannyas. But the hair is still not fully cut. So he comes back and sits down again. He's only half shaven. He comes back again. And the rest of the hair is still to be cut. And everyone is crying, rolling in the dust. Oh, can anyone stop this? The hair has been cut. Hair has been cut. And Mahaprabhu is so happy. He's just so happy. Probably the happiest he has been in his life. Because now he's fulfilling the purpose of his very descent. And he rushes inside and comes back with his beautiful form, the Shivan Sannyasi. And he's given this sannyas name. What is sannyas name? Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That personality who gives Chaitanya, who gives consciousness of Sri Krishna. That is your prime objective in this world. Your name will be Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And the Lord is completely free to move around wherever he wants. The pastimes are very long and elaborate. However, to get an essence of his compassion, we need to recount a little bit of his compassion which took place at the Jarikanda forest. Where the Lord is now, Thakur Bhaktivedanta in 1885 wrote this particular prophetic words. He said, the Lord's descent in this world is not just for Bengal or India. It is for the emancipation of all living entities in all countries, in all planets, through the entire universe. This is the prophetic words of Thakur Bhakti Vinod. So here the Lord is passing through Jarikanda forest. And such miracles which the world has never seen. The tigers, the lions, the elephants just move aside and allow the Lord to walk through. He is absorbed. For him, every forest is Vrindavan, every river is Jamuna, and every mountain is Govardhan. Because he sees, because he absorbed in Vrindavan, that place actually becomes Vrindavan. Because what the Lord sees is reality. Because he is the supreme reality, is Vastava Vastu. When he thinks something is Vrindavan, Jarikanda is no longer Jarikanda, it becomes Vrindavan. So the Vrindavan mood manifests in these animals and they lose their ferocity. Elephants, tigers just move off from the way. The Lord is walking and you see the tiger is on the road, they're sleeping. The Lord touches them with his lotus feet and says, chant Hare Krishna. The tiger starts chanting, Hare Krishna! And he goes further. He's doing his bath. Is standing in Sandhya Gayatri. Heard of elephants come there. Mad elephants. We heard of mad elephant offense, right? They can destroy that same mad elephant. Wild, mad elephant. They come to drink their own water also. Lord takes a pumpful of water and says, shh, chant Hare Krishna. And the elephant starts chanting, Hare Krishna! We cannot do like Maharaj. So we won't even try. So, elephants start chanting Hare Krishna. Tears start flowing from the eyes of the elephant and start rolling in the mud. Who can do this? Who can give love of God in an instant to mad elephants? The Lord walks further the next day and does come. And the Lord, they accompany the Lord because they are all attracted to the Lord's melodious singing. The Lord is caressing them and he thinks of Vrindavan. He quotes some shlokas of Vrindavan quoted by the gopis. Then tigers come in also. Tigers also come. The does come. The deers come. Both are walking. He tells the tigers, chant Hare Krishna. He tells the deers, chant Hare Krishna. And now there is such a kirtan of the deer, the rhinoceros, the bulls, the wild buffaloes, the dogs, the snakes, the peacocks. All are chanting loudly, beautifully. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! The tiger and the deer are kissing each other. Who can do this? Right? Those divine footprints of the Lord are still there in Jarikanda to be seen. Our dear devotee Rupa Raghunath Prabhu told me when he came back from the book distribution party there that even now that sacred rocks are there where the Lord danced with his lotus feet and melting those rocks with the love of his heart. Those impressions, embossed impressions of melted rocks are still there at Jarikhanda. Monday we can go there for a yatra and take the dust of those feet, of those impressions. What is the Lord's principal teachings? What has he come to teach? Very important. Three things. Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shikha. These are the three things which he has come to teach the world. Speak about Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, worship Krishna, and Koro Krishna Shikha. Study, learn about Krishna. These are the only three activities of a devotee and nothing more. Every other activity of a grihastha or a brahmachari or a vanaprasthi or a sannyasi or a professional or whatever else is simply to be coordinated in such a way that it assists these three primary activities of speaking about Krishna, worshipping Krishna, and learning about Krishna. When these three activities grow to a level of maturity, they manifest as three levels of perfection. What are they? Individually, you develop Namaruchi. When you chant Krishna mantra, then you develop Namaruchi. That Namaruchi manifests again as a desire to serve. Because the purpose of Nam is to manifest Seva Bhav. The chanting of Hare Krishna mantra is not an end in itself. It is a sadhana. The sadhya is to evoke back our own Swarupa. The most beautiful line ever spoken in creation is probably this. Jivera Swarup Hoy, Krishnara Nitya Das. There is no spiritual truth which in my mind excels in exposition of fundamental principles of existence more than this one line. You understand Sanatana Goswami by Lord Chaitanya. It reveals the entire spectrum of the conclusion of all Vedic knowledge. Jivera Swarup, that we are all Jivas, we are not this body. We have a Swarupa, we are not impersonal. We are all Krishna, and the Krishna Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all his servants in the conditioned state or in the liberated state. We are Nitya Das. Of course, there's much more to understanding this sloka in more detail. But this is the essence. So when you chant Hare Krishna mantra, this Swarupa gets evoked. So second perfection arises from Namaruchi. What is that? Vaishnava Seva. You want to serve Vaishnavas with your heart, with your love, with your money, with your time, with your counsel, with your sympathy, in whatever way we can. We want to serve the Vaishnavas in a selfless manner. When that perfection extends further, when you get blessing of the Vaishnavas through Vaishnava Seva, when you get blessing of the Lord through Namaruchi, then third perfection arises. And what is that? Jivodaya. So it starts from Namaruchi, extends to the Vaishnava community of serving the Vaishnavas, and that love now extends not only for the Vaishnavas but extends for all living beings. And then you develop Jivo Doya. You become an instrument in the hands of the Lord to show compassion to all living beings. The entire parampara beginning from Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, then the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and down the line Chakravarti Thakur, Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod, they are simply a beautiful chain of those pure souls who descend from the spiritual world with this, who have become instruments of the Lord's compassion. We can see in all of them, they have Namaruchi, Vaishnava Seva, and most importantly, manifest quality is Jivodaya. This Gaurapanya festival was celebrated after this event took place. The Mayapur was covered over for many years. Lord wanted to give his mercy to his devotees to excavate back Mayapur. So again, the history goes down, and instead of excavating Mayapur again, the birth of the Lord's, the place of the Lord's appearance goes to Thakur Bhakti Vinod. We know the whole story. There'll be a drama tomorrow on that event of the place was excavated by Thakur Bhakti Vinod. And the big temple was built by Saraswati Thakur and Bhakti Vinod there. And Srila Prabhupada was so eager to start Gaur Purnima in ISKCON. The most important event in his life was to start Gaur Purnima. Why? Because of the prophecy of his predecessor Acharyas. And in 1896, the prophecy was made. It is not long in history now that there will be a time very soon where Europeans, Americans, Italians, Germans, French will come together in the land of Mahadweep and chant loudly, Jai Sachinandana Gaurahari.
Jai Sachinandana
Gaurahari. This is the universal church which was envisioned by Thakur Bhakti Vinod. Beyond temples and mosques and cathedrals and synagogues, the universal church of chanting the holy names of Krishna would be the all-binding force which unites everybody into the largest family of Sri Krishna. A worldwide community of devotees would soon arise. Vision of Thakur Bhakti Vinod. He wanted to put that actually prophecy into a palpable reality. Prabhupada was sitting on his desk. He had sent Balibardhan Maharaj and Tamalakshmi Maharaj to buy this land in Mayapur. 9 bigha of land from Sheikh Brothers. There was no answer for 6 days. Prabhupada was in anxiety. In the middle of the night, all brahmacharyas sleeping in Calcutta. Prabhupada was sitting on his desk translating, reading from a Bengali version of Srimad Bhagavatam, commentary of the previous acharyas. He is in deep anxiety. Why my sons, my disciples have not come with the finished deal of buying this 9 bigha of land. At that time it cost 14,500 rupees. Probably today will cost 14 lakhs at least. And there's two wonderful devotees come in the middle of the night, staircase, there is loud sounds of the footsteps and said, Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhupada said, what is the news? Prabhupada, the land is yours. Okay, go and take rest. Tamalakshmi Maharaj did the impossible. The land was now belonged to Srila Prabhupada. It was 1971. The month of March. Prabhupada's heart started exploding with ideas to develop Sri Mayapur Dham now. He went to London, and from there, London started giving ideas. We'll have a big temple there. The first Gaur Purnima of ISKCON was to be planned. 1972, 29th February was the Gaur Purnima of 1972. The first Gaur Purnima, which is now going to be the fulfillment of the vision of all the acharyas, the vision of the Lord. The creating of the tsunami was now really happening. It was not just a local event of Bengal or Nordip district. It was going to be a worldwide event. The obscure Mayapur, not even seen on the maps practically, was no longer going to be obscure, for it is the center of the spiritual center of the entire universe. What appears like center like Australia, America or Japan or Germany are absolutely God-forsaken places. The most important place for all of us is Sridham Mayapur. Build nice guest houses, call 500 devotees from all over, let there be nice big prasadam distributions. 24-hour kirtan, there's a 5-day festival. With meager facilities, lots of mosquitoes and inconvenience, Prabhupada was still geared up from living in the small thatched hut of just maybe 100 square feet. Prabhupada said, I would not want to stay in big palaces. I'm just so happy to stay in this small hut forever in Mayapur. Because for him now, he was seeing the spiritual city which was being envisioned by Thakur Bhakti Vinod. It's coming. It's going to happen. It's becoming a reality. So from then onwards, in 72, Mayapur Dham, the first Gaur Purnima, down to so many years now, we all gather together every year to celebrate this most blessed event in the mood of being beggars. We do not have any qualification to get Mahaprabhu's mercy. Such a rare incarnation of the Lord, we have absolutely no qualification. And anyone can understand this very clearly. What is it which we have done to earn the type of love? To becoming even a Brahma of this universe, you have to perform 1,000 cycles of lifetimes of perfectly following the Varnashram Dharma to become even a Brahma of this universe. And we cannot even follow one lifetime of perfect Varnashram. To become an Indra, you have to perform 1,000 Ashwamedh Yajnas in this universe. To talk about perfection, to go beyond Vaikuntha, what have we really done to get the type of love which is explained by Srimati Radharani in the gopis? Absolutely nothing. Just nothing. Very plain and simple. But we can only beg with a begging bowl made of the commodity of humility. The bowl is not of iron or gold. The bowl is made up of the quality of humility. We have to only beg. The Lord has come. Holy name is given. Books have been given. Navadvip is excavated. Mahaprabhu's Lila is already told in the scriptures. Everything is already given. Everything is ready on the silver platter. The only thing required from our side now, the minimal thing which we have to do, is to give up our false ego and with faith accept Mahaprabhu's mercy. Shraddha matra loinden paramo ananda. We need to develop this implicit faith in the Lord's mercy, the mercy of our eternal Lords Radha and Gopinath, implicit faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada, that this is the golden moments of our eternal life. We may have gone through so many things in past life, who even cares what was happening in the past, but now we are here to cry. Lolyam ekamatra moolam. We have to cry for this eagerness to receive this speck of love, which Mahaprabhu is freely giving. Nityananda fully giving. All the Panchatattva is freely giving this love of God. By simply chanting with humility this simple Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. We'll end by a small analogy which impressed my heart. We're going to perform aarti now of the Lordships. In a short while, the Maha Aarti, the most important aarti of the entire year. The lamp, the flame of the lamp represents the lolyam, the longing of a desire to love the Lord. That is represented by the flame which we offer in aarti at our homes or in the aarti during Kartik month to Damodar Bhagavan and to the Lordships here. That flame represents the longing to really, deeply, genuinely, purely love Krishna, love Sri Radha, love Guru Maharaj, and love Panchatattva. That flame represents a desire, a longing to love. The ghee which empowers the wick, which energizes the wick, which energizes this flame of longing, is our desire to serve the Vaishnavas and a chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. The more we chant offenselessly, purely, the more we serve the Vaishnavas with implicit pure hearts, this energizes the vick with the ghee. And the more it is energized by this fuel, the more stronger becomes this flame of our longing. As this fire of the flame becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, the power of fire is to destroy. This flame then destroys our false ego, destroys all the inabilities and wrong desires within our heart. And as all these wrong desires get destroyed, the flame then allows the Lord to be seen within our heart. Spratua, within the core of our heart, Hridaya Kandare, who's there? The Lord is there. This flame will destroy all the anarthas, and then we can see Radha and Krishna. We can see Gopinath. We can see Gauranga Mahaprabhu right in the core of our heart. So we want to keep this flame on by constant chanting and constant serving. This is the only goal of our lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.